You can't have a Holy Spirit encounter unless you talk about the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to talk about some things that are going to stretch you. Some of the things I'm going to share are going to confirm you. But my purpose in sharing this, I mean, the Lord changed all my plans. He came and visited me this morning and said, this is what you're going to do tonight. So you'll have to be patient with me as I take you on a journey of how this happened. And it simply happened because I became obedient. Somewhere along the line, I got a revelation. I got a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for me. And in that revelation, I knew I had to repent. I didn't know for sure what I was repenting about. But I was repenting for everything and things I didn't even know. I said, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, what I know I've done, and what I didn't even realize I did. Help me. Help me understand. And after I repented, then I learned to submit. That's a hard place for everyone because it's easy to, okay, I believe there's Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to repent because I did do some bad things, and now I got the book in front of me saying that was wrong. I never knew it was wrong, but now I know it's wrong. By the way, one of the biggest things that you can do that's wrong is judge people. I didn't think that was bad. I mean, it was my choice. If they were doing something wrong, I could tell them they were doing something wrong. I learned about the word judgment. And who has judgment? Who's in charge of judging? Jesus. Amen? That was his reward for going to the cross. That was for his obedience. That was because he repented, even though he didn't have anything to repent, because he wanted to give us a standard to walk in. Amen? So then the next thing is submitting. Humbling yourself before the Lord. It's not enough to say, okay, I was bad, I want to be good. But now it's got submitting, and that's shifting and moving and adjusting. And it's like my pride, my ego, my attitude, everything that I knew that I was taught by my mom and my dad and school teachers and brothers and sisters. And it's like, what the heck? He's just going wiping it all away and I'm supposed to submit? Listen, I'm a woman. I can imagine what you men had to go through. And I'll tell you, coming to that place was not easy to submit. Okay, now I'm submitted, Lord. I love you. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the rule and the reign. And he goes, well, I want you to do this and this and this. And it's like, now I submitted to listening to that, but now he's requiring another step. It's called obedience. And I had to learn when he asked you to do something or if you asked for help, he wasn't giving you yes or no answers and multiple choice. It was, you better do it or we're not going to have any more dialogue until you get it. And then I started learning about when he asked me, when I'd asked for help, he didn't give me multiple choice. This is the way. This is the only way. There's no going over the fence. There's no trying to sneak through with anybody else. You got one door to go through, Jesus Christ, and do it obediently, and your path will be set. Amen? So as my journey went along, I became a Christian, and I remember getting baptized and privately because I was so shy, and later I rectified that and made it right. But I mean, when I first became a Christian, my pride was so big. I was the shyest person you ever met. I mean, you talk about the Lord, the devil having a hand on my throat, and I was afraid to speak. I'm telling you, that's the bottom line. I didn't want to speak. I was in the foreground. I was always pushing others in front of me. I'll encourage you. But then God changed me and made me realize that shyness was pride and that shyness was a coward. I was a coward. And God has taught me a lot about that. You'll hear more about that tomorrow night. But so I started listening and being obedient and started praying and getting involved with people that like to pray. A woman came into my life from Florida, an older woman that decided she wanted to mentor me, and she said, I see you as a teacher. I'm in one of the most conservative churches in Alaska, and still is one of the most conservative churches in Alaska, and they don't believe in miracles today. They don't believe that there's apostles. They don't believe there's gifts of the Spirit. There's not a need for it. The perfect has come. The Bible, we don't need any of that. We don't need healings. We don't need the miracles. Nothing. That was when I came into the kingdom of God, that's the theology that I came into and doctrine I came into, until one day I just felt something was wrong. This Bible teacher was not teaching out of Corinthians, was not teaching out of Acts, was not teaching out of Revelation. I thought, I'm missing something. So I got on, I got in a course, because I live in Alaska. So I got in a course on Acts of the Apostles and Old Testament survey, and I started studying. And lo and behold, everything in the Old Testament was showing me the direction that God used his people to point the way to Jesus. And then when I find out about Jesus and the book of Acts and what Jesus did for us, I realized I was getting not the whole truth. And things were changing in me. Now, that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been seeking. If you want to stay where you're at, be content where you're at, you're going to miss out on the most glorious, gracious days of your life. Because there's nothing more exciting to see a soul turned around, a soul saved, a healing, a deliverance. I'm telling you, it's like, that's what you could give me $1 million and it wouldn't turn me on. You give me a soul to work with and they receive Jesus Christ, I'm hallelujah and everywhere else. Because God gave me a gift. Whenever I lead somebody to the Lord, I hear the trumpets of heaven. I hear the angels celebrating a new name is written in heaven. I mean, I've led people to the Lord and got out of the building and going down the road. My car is just going all over the place. I'll never forget the first time it happened. I went, what's wrong with this car? And all of a sudden I heard, there's a new name written out in heaven. And I'm like, okay, I celebrate with you. Listen, I know you think I'm crazy, but that happened. That's my testimony. I'm not a liar. The only thing I stretch the truth on is fishing. You know, the one that got away, I can say how big it was. Anyway. So I remember I was sitting in a Bible study one day, mixed men and women, and there was a man there, and that man was just negative about everything. And he was a leader, but he'd come to the private prayer meetings, and things that would come out of his mouth just grieved my heart. And I was sitting there, and this is one of the first times I heard the Lord speaking to me, and he said, go to Revelation chapter 3. And I went, okay, and I opened up chapter 3, and I remember I'm sitting across the room from this man who was just a bully. You know what I mean? A bully. And it was going to be his way or the highway, and it was like I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, Lord, how can we help this man? He's out there ministering to people, and he's hurting them. Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And he goes, go to Revelation chapter 3. So I went to Revelation chapter 3, and I'm not going to go in depth there. I just want to tell you what he did. He said, read that story, and the Laodicean story of that city. And it was an angel talking to John. It was really Jesus, I believe, because it's written in red, and he was describing that city and the condition of that city. That city was a rich city. That city was the money changer place for all of Asia. So anybody that came through there that wanted to go in any direction would have to go to that hub city, and they had the greatest banking institute of that time when this word came forth. A rich city. It also was a city known for, like, the largest fabric center in the world, if you will, because they had invented the color purple by drawing it out of some kind of a root or a plant, and it was very sought after. It really grew plentiful in the Laodicean area, so they would dye these beautiful silks, and people from all over the world would come into that Mediterranean Sea and go to Laodicea, and they would buy that material. Amen? And then the third one was that it was a medical institute of teaching of young men to be doctors. These three things, very important. And those three, those men, those young men, discovered ointment for eye disease. And at that time, rampant different types of eye disease with nothing to heal, no medicines to heal it. Even Paul, it's written, Paul had bad eyes because eye disease was a common thing in those days. And they invented this amazing eye disease. But there in chapter 3, the Lord says, I'd rather that you were hot or cold, lest you be lukewarm, I vomit you out. In other words, and I agree with it 100%, I can do something with you if you're hot, I can make you hotter. I can do something if you're cold, because we can always move forward. But if you're lukewarm, I can't get you to do anything because you're content. It's hard to mess with somebody that's been a Christian for 30 years and think they've got it all together, and you try to talk about the Holy Spirit and they go la 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 la, because they don't believe he still moves today. And he does, 100%. Amen? So I'll go on to say that he said, what I want you to desire is gold refined by fire. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a spirit of God in you, the renewed life. I want to clothe you with righteousness rather than being clothed with whatever Laodicea was clothing you with. Let me clothe you, because you know what? You're really naked. You're really naked. You know, no matter how you clothe yourself, you can't hide yourself. Amen? And without the money, you're worried about the money. God says, let me clothe you with the glory, the baptism. Everything changes. Every perspective in your life changes. And money doesn't matter. And when God realizes money doesn't matter, guess what? Your pockets bulge. Amen? How many would agree that I just said the truth? That's the truth, isn't it? Amen? So, and then he says, and I would like for you to seek the eye salve that I have, the eye salve of revelation of truth and knowledge. It's the anointing of God that he puts on your eyes, that you see with the eyes of your heart, not what you see out here. When you look in the mirror, you don't look at yourself like my hair is not right, my face is not right. You look in the mirror and say, is this a man of God? Is this a woman of God? And you look right into your own heart. And know, if you're looking in that mirror and you're mad at your husband, your wife, your kids, you need to get it taken care of, because it's going to show on your face. Amen? Isn't that the truth? That's how he started me. And I prayed for my friend, and I mean, he changed. I gave him that word, I got oil, and I prayed for his eyes. And the Lord says, you will do this all the days of your life. Amen? So before I finish, that's one of the things that we're going to pray for you for, is your eyes. Would you like to have the eye salve of revelation of truth and knowledge? Yes, it's a Holy Spirit revelation that takes place if you believe. If you don't believe, nothing's going to happen. But if you believe, he said, test me. Watch and see what I can do. Amen? So I kind of am moving on, and I'm growing in the Spirit, and God called me miraculously again. I mean, I was a nobody. I went to a retreat and what's her name? What is that woman's name that wrote The Voice of God? Cindy Jacobs. How many of you have ever heard of Cindy Jacobs? General of Intercession for the World. That's her title. And an amazing woman. And at that time, she came to Alaska to speak, and I was prepped for it. God had me ready for it. My eyes were wide open. I don't run after people. I mean, I know people are people, and everybody makes mistakes, so I don't get all gaga when somebody comes in. But everybody was excited about Cindy Jacobs, and she wasn't any big deal to me, but when she came in the room, I knew that she was anointed. I could sense it, and I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of what she said, but I remember the prayer state coordinator for the state of Alaska, word for word, what she said. She was the one that got me. But I'll tell you, Cindy Jacobs, when she was done speaking, she says, if you know that you have a call on your life, she says, you guys need to just get out of this room and go different directions. Spend some time with the Lord and let him talk to you. So, man, I was out of that. You know, there's probably 120, 30 women, and everybody flew every direction. Most of them went to go eat or go to town or do whatever. I ran down to the canoes and went out on the lake and laid in the water on the bottom of that canoe, and I just wanted to talk to God. Listen, this, I got to tell you something. That wasn't me. To do something like that. That was a God call. And I didn't want to be bothered. And I went out in that lake and laid in the lake on my back so nobody could see who was on that canoe, in that canoe. And I was out there for a couple hours on my back praying and listening to God. Then I went to shore, and my 26 or 27 friends that went to that retreat with me were gone. They went to town to go shopping. I was never so disappointed. Not that they left me behind, but I just had this most absolute exciting experience with the Lord, and they missed it. They could have been a part of that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to shift and move out of our comfort zone, our lukewarm place, to see what God has to say. How many believe me? Isn't that the truth? So then what happened next was I came off the lake, and I didn't want to go up to the kitchen. This was at noon, and by now it's about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. And I came up over this hill and started going down this hill. And as I got about halfway down, I saw a woman move over here behind a tree. And I could see smoke bellowing around the tree. And she jumps out, scared me to death. I mean, like, was it a bear smoking? I didn't know. You know, that this thing jumped out. And it was a woman, and she was smoking a cigarette at a Christian campground. And she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I said, "Don't say sorry to me." I said, "I don't care if you smoke. I mean, that's not my issue." Anyway, I said, "You just do what you're doing. I'm going on down to this gully." And what it was a dry gully, and this was in the spring. The ice had just gone off the lake. And down, the snow had pretty much come off of this gully where people would bring their motors homes in the summer, and they had campfires down there. Anyway, I come down this bank through the trees, make my own trail, and get down there, and I see this fireplace, and I'm just thinking. I'll tell you, I must have been so in the spirit. I didn't really know what I was doing because I got down there. I rolled a log up. I sat down on the log, and I'm looking at the fireplace. I'm telling you the honest God truth here. I'm sitting on that log, and I'm looking at the fireplace, and pretty soon I look over, and I see a stick. I pick it up, and I'm kind of moving the coals around. Listen, those coals didn't burn. You haven't burned for 8 or 9 months, okay? Get my drift? This is the spring of what happened the year before, these dry coals, and there's little rocks around the campfire, and I'm just pretending I'm at a campfire, and I'm talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, those coals before my eyes began to pulsate and turn red, and it freaked me out. I had my stick in my hand, and I'm watching this, and it's like, you know, this is all a big setup for why I am who I am today. This was 25 years ago. I'm telling you what God has done. And I'm just messing, and I got the stick, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm going, what is going on? And all of a sudden, before I saw the faces, the Lord said, "Nancy," he said, "I want you to feed my sheep." Well, I know what that is. That's in the Bible. That's what he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And I said, "Lord, I'll feed your sheep." I mean, it's like I'm trembling before the Lord at this point. And I mean, this is as clear in my head now as when it happened. And all of a sudden, I saw the coals turn into what would look like tar. And I saw these faces start coming out of the tar. And they were women, mostly women from all over the world. And they're going, "Help me, come help me." And I'm going, "Oh God, am I having?" I mean, I never did drugs. I'll tell you, I couldn't drink. I got a sugar problem, so I couldn't drink. And it's like, man, am I going crazy? This is so real. But remember, I'm out on the lake with the Lord. And this is a setup I set myself up for the Lord to get my attention. And I'm standing there, and he says again, I start crying. I just saw all these different women, Asians and African Americans, and just just all kinds of people. And you know what? I'm very stay-at-home mom. I mean, this was really blowing me away. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, God, help him, help him. And he said, Nancy, will you feed my sheep? And I said, I always feed your sheep. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I still have the stick standing there, sitting there paralyzed. And he says, and I don't want you to fool around with it. And it was like the stick flew. I went, whoa. And I'm just sitting there, and I am just sobbing. And I know my nose looked like Rudolph out here because I was just sobbing. My heart was broken for those women around the world. And all of a sudden, I heard this, excuse me, can I interrupt you? And I look up, and I mean, I know I look like the snot-nosed mess. And she goes, can I please talk to somebody? I need to talk to somebody. And I said, yes. I kind of made a joke, and I'm cleaning myself up. And I said, just roll up one of those logs and sit down. Listen, I'll tell you, I was scared of people. I really was. But I'll tell you, my heart, he put it into practice right there. That little girl sat down. She looked like she was probably in her early 20s. And she goes, and that was the one that was smoking the cigarette. And she goes, I just have to tell somebody. I came to this retreat. She said, I saw it advertised in a Baba bookstore in Eagle River. And I said, okay. She said, but I was really trying to set myself up to be gone for a couple of days because I'm going up the Parks Highway. I have my husband's handgun, and I want to kill myself. I mean, everything in the world stopped at that point. And I said, whatever is going on that you feel that desperate? And she told me her story. She's from Seattle, raised in her family's close, and they got married. He was in the military. They moved to Alaska. She was alone, and it was a rough winter, and she was depressed. And, I mean, I just ministered to her till we were laughing. And she got up, and she said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and tell my husband. I said, please let me know how things are going. She later called me and told me that, you know, one of my suggestions was, why don't you ask your husband if you could just go home for a week? I said, you know what, going home for a week and coming back, everything changes. I said, they won't be the same back home. You'll be ready to come back. Well, she called me after she got back and told me she couldn't wait to get back to Alaska after being home. And that was a divine appointment. So I knew that God had plans. Did they all happen right away? No, they didn't. I just continued to move in Aglow Ministries. We started lighthouses all over the state. We had about 29 lighthouses by the time I stepped down from being, you know, at the top position of that state. God has a plan. I went up and down the Kuskokwim. I went down to Southeast Alaska and ministered out in the villages, and then I was called across Canada and all the villages into Canada. I mean, even a motorhome. God said, I'm going to provide a motorhome. And the next year, sure enough, a man walks up to me and he says, I heard a rumor that you're looking for a motorhome, and I want to give you my motorhome to go down. And we went all the way across Canada ministering in Indian villages. Powerful. And then I went to Nicaragua. I got called to go to Nicaragua after Hurricane Mitch went there and just destroyed so much. And we did so much work there. And I went there 3 years in a row. And we were able to raise funds, $20,000 to pump into helping them and buying a team of oxen and entrusting a man to use that to get many, many families up on the mountain, because their answer for all those people that got homeless was to put them down in the desert with a sack of beans and a little one-room cement hut that you put 6-7 people in, one room, you know, and you just go outside to the bathroom, dig a hole. There was no bathroom. And I'm like having a fit over all that. I mean, I said, you know what? We did that in America. It didn't work. We're still paying for that. It wasn't the right thing to do. You need to get them back on the mountain. You got to get them back on their mountain. Where their livelihood is, what they've passed on for years. And so they wouldn't do it, so we bought a team of oxen, the best team of oxen in all of Nicaragua. I did not know that, but until I went back and got to see them. you know, and saw the work, and he went down, bring those families one by one back up on that mountain, and went to their land and after the volcano came in and wiped it all out. They came back up, and they, anyway, great things. Great things. And then we started going other places, into China. And yes, I was the first woman in the world in over 100 years to be invited by the Chinese leadership, top 20 communist leaders, invited to go in and speak for the first time in over 20 years or 100 years, the gospel of Jesus Christ with permission. With permission. We did that in 2010. So, remember the fireplace. Come and help me. God has a plan. I want you to be sensitive in your realm of where you're at and who you are. And if you say you've got the revelation, then submit and then be obedient and see what God will do. There is a whole bunch more work to be done. Amen? So then God moves me to this next step that I'm going to share with you. A lot of good things are happening. Over the years, over these last 25 years, we've been to many places, like she said, 70 countries and blah, blah, blah. But I want to tell you what's been going on since September 13th. The Lord has visited me 5 times, face to face. The Lord. The first time he came, he said, give this word everywhere you go. That number one is 2016. What is that? Redemptive love. Get established in the word. God said he will establish you. You don't think you're very smart? Guess what? He's about to establish you. Wow. Watch what he does with you. That's another miracle that he did in my life. Okay? Then he wants you to be a sure peg. Once you are convinced, once you've submitted and you said yes, you're going to be a sure peg. A sure peg and a cornerstone of Jesus Christ. God will use you. I guarantee it. He won't waste time. If you say yes. And then he said, tell them 7 years of plenty, which bothered me because I'm not one to speak about prosperity and I, you know, where's the money, hon? I'm not into that, you know, but he said, 7 years of plenty. He said, Nancy, I want you this year and for the next 7 years to go and stir up the saints to start bringing the souls into the storehouse. And it's one storehouse. Whatever I do, you benefit from it. But I tell you, you better believe in what I'm doing, and you better believe in what you can do. Amen? We got to get the storehouse built up. Why 7 years? Why did God say these next 7 years? And many would say, does that mean the end of the world's coming? What is this about? It's about the end of what life is as you know it today. If we're not obedient, things are going to change. You think things are changed now? God said 7 years. We've already used half of that year. We have 6.5 years to build up the storehouse. Now, all I can ask you to do is be a part of it. All I'm asking you to do is reach out and share your testimony and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them the hope and glory. Tell them about eternal life. And oh my gosh, tell them about the power of God that can be with you. You don't look like a Christian. The power is going to be within you and you will declare it. I will talk more about that tomorrow night. But anyway, so I'm like, that happened on September 13th, 2015, which is the Israel's New Year, first day of the year. It's also 50th year of Jubilee. A lot of things that you have been troubled with spiritually, God's breaking them off this year. He's setting you free. Amen? But you got to get in the game. You got to get in line. I mean, here comes the ball of freedom, and it's coming right at you. Don't move because you love this mess over here. Get run over by God. Amen? You'll never be the same again. Amen. I know I have weird illustrations, but anyway. So then the next month, that's in October. Then let's see, that's in September. Then October, I do a conference in Ketchikan. And was I in Ketchikan? No, that was in Ketchikan. I got the word in October. And then in September. Then October, I was in Ohio. And there was a spiritual birthing that God gave 2 words, destiny and joy. You get on the bandwagon here and you listen to what's being said. God's a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. And what he's saying is your destiny will be with joy from now on if you believe. if you listen to that word, destiny with joy. How many of you are unhappy? You're dealing with depression. I'm telling you, destiny with joy. And then in January, I'm doing a meeting like this, and when it's over on Friday night, I'm starting to walk out the door, and I think it's Tom Smalley's brother, stops me and wants to pray for me. Well, because isn't that who it was? Your brother? Brother-in-law. And because Tom had already introduced me, I knew that if I shouldn't be prayed by him, Tom would have let me know. And so I said, sure. Sure. Well, my team, you know, they watch me like a hawk. They're very protective because you never know who wants to come in and lay hands on you and do their little voodoo thing. And so, but they watch me. Well, he lays those hands on me and starts to pray for me. But what I didn't know is that was the first time he ever did anything like that. In fact, it scared him because I fell on the floor. I don't remember falling on the floor. What I remember is my body just went like an accordion straight down. Now I'm going to tell you a little more secrets about what happened when I was younger. And as I went down, I opened my eyes, and it was so bright. It was like the brightest light I ever seen in my life. And I'm looking at that bright light, and all of a sudden I see a silhouette coming through. It's like nobody's in the room. I'm not in a room. I don't know where I'm at. But all I know is this silhouette of a man, and he's getting more and more specific. And he's coming toward me, and then I realize it's Jesus. And he's coming at me with his hand like that to pull me up off the floor. And I went, no, no, not now, not now. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? I've been to heaven, right? I would be glad to go to heaven, but not now, not after I just gave that message. We've got 7 years. God promised me, anybody that got on board with that word, he promised their health, their strength, their finances, favor everywhere they went. Favor. And I'm going, that you're going to make me a liar. You're going to be a liar. I'm telling them what you told me. No, no. I mean, I am crying. I'm going, no, no. I mean, I asked Evelyn, I said, Evelyn, when that happened, what did you say? And you said, you were gone. You were as dead. But I was in the spirit. Anyway, the Lord says, Nancy, trust me. Take my hand. And he took my hand and like he pulled me off. And he took me through these doors, and I was out on this veranda, and it looked familiar. And he said, do you remember this? And I said, yes, I do. He said, do you remember what I said? This took place at 40 years old. I'm 65 now. This happened at 40 years old when he changed my whole life because of that event where I died, and he sent me back. And he said, do you remember what I said to you? I said, yeah, you asked me what I saw. And I said, I saw the whole world. At first, it looked like I could just see in front of me, the fields in front of me. But then it just started moving, and I could see the whole world and all the continents. And it's just moving. And I said, well, Lord, it's the world. And he said, yes. And who does the world belong to? And I said, well, you, Lord. And he said, yes. And because you're my bride, guys, by the way, you are his bride. He said, because you're my bride, it's yours too. And then all of a sudden, I was back on the floor, and I thought, what the heck was that? Why did he do that to me? You know, after 25 years, why was he reminding me? Why? So then in the first part of February, I'm in Macon. That was in Athens, Georgia. Now I'm in Macon, and I'm in this house, and I'm standing there like this, and I'm messing with some things at the counter, and Jesus says to me, Nancy, I need to talk to you. And I'm standing there, and I looked straight ahead that way, and he was behind me, and I knew he was behind me, but it's like my husband walking in and saying, I want to talk to you, and I'm a little bit nervous, so I'm just looking that way. And he goes, Nancy, he said, how many people do you think I actually talk to face-to-face on this earth? And I'll tell you, I combed through the Bible. I wanted to know if he ever said that to anyone else. I can be a legalist. And I remember thinking, I turned and he was standing there and I said, I am sorry, I am sorry. I don't know that I've ever been so ashamed before God. I'm sorry, I asked forgiveness. I said, I'm sorry, I took it for granted. I realized I was taking something very seriously for granted, because when I would tell stories that would happen to me, I was assuming that was happening to all you that are real close to the Lord. I didn't realize that maybe I'm a little bit special. And I don't think I'm special because I'm special. I think it's just that I listen and obey him and he dumps stuff on me, okay? So anyway, I mean, I was like, I am so sorry. I will never do that again. But I got to tell you, I don't think I was ever so spanked in my life. And he was so gentle the way he did it. See, we don't have to tear people up and rip them to shreds. We can just ask him a question that makes them realize what they did. And then let them deal with it. That's what he did with me. I thought, man, that's good logic. Because it did. It brought me up short, and I repented. I said, I am so sorry. I will never do that to you again. Please trust me. I will try never to do that again. And then he said, well, I do have to talk to you. He said, did you know that Abel was the first to die in the Bible for my namesake? You know, Cain and Abel? Well, I'm thinking, I don't really know that, but I'm going to tell him yes. You know, somehow this is going to work because God is Jesus in the Trinity. So I went, yes, for his namesake. But believe me, I was going to check that one out. And then he goes, and did you know that Zechariah, the last book of the Old Testament, he said he also died for my namesake. He was my prophet. And I went, well, I didn't know that. I will go back and reread that. And he said, yes. He said, he was telling everybody that I was going to come and I was going to be crucified. But then I was going to come back again alive. And that I was that the people all over the world were going to seek me, seek my face, and want to come and bow at my feet. Now, what does that have to do with anything? You know, I'm listening to him wondering why he's saying that. And then he says, that's why they killed me. They said, enough is enough. They thought he was crazy. He was prophesied about, and he is going to return. And the only thing that we need to worry about is being prepared, always watching. Amen? So then he said, Nancy, I know you're afraid. And just out of the blue, he says, I know you're afraid. Again, bust it out. I went, okay, I admit I've been afraid. And what was I afraid about? God is sending me to all these countries, going to Europe, going to the Scandinavian countries, going to India is a little bit more tougher. But now we're going into the Asian countries, and there's a lot of war-torn stuff going on there, or has. There's just a lot of influence there that is, as a little Alaskan girl from the sticks, a little bit overwhelming. But more than that, I was concerned about he gave me an assignment. He's going to be with me. But I was afraid for whoever was going with me that anything would happen to them, that I am responsible to their husbands and their children and et cetera. And I was just burdened with this fear. What if something happens? You know, and I was kind of taking that burden on myself. And he said, I don't want you to be afraid, Nancy. I said, I'm sorry. I have been concerned. And he said, I don't want you to be afraid. I promise you, I will get you everywhere I've asked you to go. I will get you to the eastern gate of all these capitals around the world. And it may be you might not be able to be right on the capitol steps, but you will be at the eastern gate of that capital. I promise. And he said, and you do not have to worry about the money. He said, I will take care of it. And he has been taking care of every penny. He just moves on people's hearts, and they do it. I mean, I never know. I go home. Debbie would go, well, you know, you have enough in the account. Go ahead and start planning your next trips. And the money's there. And, you know, none of us get a wage in this ministry. I've never been paid a penny of all this work we've been doing. I mean, my friends personally bless me in some manner. I bless them in some manner. But I'll tell you what, the ministry supports the ministry. We put these conferences on all over, and we don't charge. We don't charge. If some of our members can't afford a plane ticket and we get wind of it, we pay for their plane ticket. We try to pay for the food for these people that come in here, make sure they get fed well. Amen? We're busy about what God wants to do with this ministry. Amen? It's his ministry. And so then, I have to tell you that the next thing he did was, after that, you know, I felt calm and thought everything was cool. And then this beautiful couple here, can you stand up, please? I'm going to embarrass you. Would you tell them your name and where you're from?
I'm Michael Level, and we're from, this is my wife, Michelle. We're from Beaufort, Georgia.
Amen. They pastor a church there, and I have been invited to go in their church. And they have a friend. And this friend kind of set her schedule aside. I'm going to tell you, if you guys don't know these people, they're the most loving, receiving people. You're in that area, visit their church. That church is very anointed. I feel at home at your church. Amen. Amen. Anyway, and I invited them here because I'm hoping that they'll speak for me in the Augusta conference in January. And I said, come see what it's like. Thank you for coming. But they have a friend that is, she is like a major prophet. She just talks and it's bubbling out of her. And she is the daughter, from my understanding, of a couple that was the armor bearers for, what's her name? Catherine Kuhlman. So this young one that ran around and was influenced and whatever, now she's up a little bit younger than me. When she found out, I met her once and she spoke over us. It was powerful. And she didn't know about my granddaughter and come up and whispered something in my ear, and that hooked me. She spoke over all my team. He spoke over all my team. Everything that they spoke over us was accurate, has been accurate, came into fruition. And she came, she was there time before last. She was on the road this time when I went, but she said, I had to be here because God gave me a word for you. And I believe this word is for all of you that will believe. You're going to have to decide if you're going to believe me. You want to see your life change? Listen to what's going to come out of my mouth. Amen? Anyway, she said, well, first of all, I got to the meeting, and I was fine. Nothing was wrong with me. But all of a sudden, I started getting this pain in a weird place in my back. The only time I ever had pain like that was familiar to something, the event that took place in my life, an exciting event. And I remember this pain was so bad, I went back and stood against the wall before I spoke. And I remember Debbie Grimes came back and said, are you okay? And I said, I got pain in my back. It hurts so bad, I don't know what it is. I can hardly breathe. And anyway, then I finally got up and I spoke. And I got up there, and she runs up, and she grabs my face, and she says, oh, my gosh, you are birthing. You are birthing for your Point to Hope team. They're going to go to a new level. Weren't you there? I hit the floor, but she was behind me before I hit the steps, so I didn't break my neck. I know that sounds weird, and you'll have to figure it out and decide if you want to believe it or not. But then she says, I came because God asked me to come and tell you something. He wants you to know that he has commissioned 7 angels in your behalf. And these are not normal angels. I'm very familiar with angels. I see angels all the time. I've never asked to see an angel in my life, but the angels will move in. And when they're invited, they will come. If God sends them to do his beckoning and we allow them to come, they will come. Amen? Well, anyway, she said these 7 angels, Nancy, are not like your ministering angels, and the angels are protecting you and blah, blah, blah. She said these 7 angels have a specific assignment, each one of them. I said, do you know what they are? She goes, no, but there's 7 of them. Well, for a month, I'm chewing on that and chewing on that. And I'm thinking, in fact, we went to dinner afterwards, if you remember. And I said, can you tell? I thought maybe I'd have a hint if they told me. She told me one name of one of those angels. I thought maybe I would have something change. Well, listen, I'm telling you, angels are very much a part of your life. They are in the Bible, and they are... They're minister for God. Amen? In your behalf. They're God's hands and feet from heaven for you. Do you hear that? Amen? Anyway, so I asked her. She said, I don't know their names. I just know you have seven, and they're huge. Well, one day in April, I remember I was sitting, and I looked over, and I saw one. And I mean, he was like maybe about 7 foot tall. Maybe not. Maybe 6'5" or whatever, but very like a sumo wrestler. I mean, that's all I could think of. I saw sumo wrestlers on TV here not long ago, and you know, it's kind of gross to watch them wrestle with their little thing there, and you know, but that's what I saw. I mean, I didn't see all that, but I mean, it was like the Incredible Hulk. I just saw one, and I remember he was dark. He was dark. All the angels I've seen have been just not dark. And he was dark. And I said, Lord, please tell me, what's the name of these angels? Can I ask you all, you when the devil is messing around, you go, tell me your name. And we can do deliverance, right? I said, so tell me their name so I know how they can help me. Because they were assigned to help me. That's why they were with me. To assign me, they're assigned a commission to help me. So the Lord said, okay, I'm going to show you their names. The Lord takes me back to a time in my life where I was still behind the scenes, and I got invited to go to this conference. This lady called, and it's a very conservative conference. They'd been coming in there, a woman's conference, and it was for the Baptists, and it was very conservative, and they'd been going in there for 4 years trying to stir the women up in the spirit to kind of move forward in the things of God. And so we were never invited because we're charismatics, and if we were going to come, they wanted us to go and help and serve them, but they asked us to please tone down being a charismatic. And it's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Would you tell that to Jesus? Tone it down, Jesus, you're charismatic. You know what I mean? It just drives me nuts when people do that, make their judgments. You know, we're made in his image, amen? We're ambassadors for him, amen? Ministers of reconciliation. It's like, what the heck? Anyway, so I get called, and they want me to do a workshop on prayer, and they want me to pray in the evening for people. Okay, well, they've got a guest speaker in from England who, I mean, anyway, I don't know how they tolerated her. I mean, but that evening when they called people up to get prayer, they had me come up there and another woman and this lady. But my line is all the way to the back of the wall. And they're moving, trying to move people over, but they're running back over in my line. So the next morning, the leader comes up to me and says, tonight when we have prayer, I want you to go way back there in the corner so the people that are like you can go back there. I said, like me? What do you mean? Well, you know, the spiritual stuff. Well, when I had checked in, when the conference first started, I remember I was in line, and, you know, I was one of the speakers, but I was just, you know, I'm in the back until they call me forward is the way I look at it. I'm not going to bust in there. And I was behind this gal that had a sack, a bag with flags, like the one that Uta has there. And a couple of their leaders stand up at that table and look over because she laid it down. They went, is that flags? And she said, yes, they are. Well, take them right out to your car and leave them there. And she says, but they asked me to bring my flags. They want me to dance. They said there was going to be all there's a bunch of ladies coming with flags. And she says, take them out to the car or put them under the stage until Saturday night because, you know, that we're not going to do it until most of them have left. And I'm like, I knew the order of business. And I thought, how humiliating. The girl goes, you know what? I don't think this is where I want to be. She picked her stuff up and she left. I knew her. I called her and encouraged her. You know, sometimes people are so rude. Could have said it even in a nicer way than that. But anyway, so I already had a burr in me. And so then that happened with the other stuff, and I got some buddies here that were there and witnessed that. And so I'm driving home in my car by myself, and the Lord says, "Hey, Nancy, what'd you think about this weekend's conference?" And I said, "Lord, I'm heartsick at the way they treated people." He said, "Now do you understand why I've been asking you for 3 years to put a conference on? 3 years, Nancy, because of this." And I said, "But Lord, it's over my head." He said, "It's not over my head." He said, "I tell you what, Nancy, I promise you, if you do what I say and you outline the conference this way, I will bless you." And he has. I've never been about numbers. He said, "Never be about numbers." But he said, "It will always be called a Holy Spirit encounter." He said, "It always will." And he said, "When you do the workshops," and I'm going to give you your workshops, Nancy, but when you do the workshops, because of the apostolic that's on your life, he said, "This is what I require at all the workshops. Will you trust me on this?" Is that thunder? Praise God. See, he loves it when I talk about this stuff. Anyway, he said, let me say how he said it. He said, for the conferences, we have the workshops. He said, they will do a workshop. You tell them speak for 45 minutes. You tell them they have 10 or 15 minutes for question and answers. And then you come in and you lay hands on them. And you impart, they are illuminated with the word. That teacher is illuminating you. I've been illuminating you up here right now, opening your mind. He says, and then you come along and you lay hands on them with the speaker and speak into them that they get the illumination, that it's imparted into the heart. Brain's got it, heart's got to receive it, and then activate it. It's all biblical. He said, you do that. And then you tell them, this isn't a time for your friends to get in conversation, to start prophesying over each other. This is my time. The Lord says, I'm going to be jealous of this time. I want this time. If they're on the floor, if they're sitting, they need to be still and let me soak in them. Amen? And I have been doing that for how many years, Debbie? When did we start? What year did you? Pardon? 2004. We've been doing that every year. Every year. And it's just grown and grown into where now what we're doing. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I have not deviated. Sometimes people get carried away and they want to do their own thing. And I've got the men here that will go in and stop them if they get off track and get them back on track, because they're not allowed to minister at that time. You'll get the ministry in the evening. God gave the plan out. And I says, well, it's called a Holy Spirit encounter. He said, I'll give you a different theme, but always call it a Holy Spirit encounter, because Nancy, you have opened up the heavens for me to come. That's what's going on here. Now, just hang on with me, because I'm about to finish. I said, so what do you want me to do the workshops on? How do you want this done? And he said, go to Isaiah chapter 11. I had never seen this. I just didn't have a revelation of this until he did this to me. This was the same night that I went home in tears, but because of the way my friends were so disrespected. Anyway, in Isaiah chapter 11, and you can also see this in chapter 4, verse 5. This just blew me away. As soon as I read them, I want you to pop the picture up, okay? Okay, so in chapter 11 of Isaiah, can you tell I'm anointed? I can't even find my Bible here. Okay, almost there. There shall be called forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. This is verse 1. And a branch shall grow out of the roots. And that branch will be the Spirit of the Lord, which will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those were the 7 workshops that we did. And the Lord said, Have somebody paint a menorah for you. Those are the seven workshops we did. Now put the menorah up there for me. See that menorah there? That hangs in my church. It is a big picture. They've kind of tried to square it off a little bit for me. A woman didn't even know what a menorah was that I asked to paint that for me. Oh my gosh. This does not do justice to it, but anybody that walks in and looks at it from any angle, it looks like it's real fire in my church. When we did that conference, while she was finished painting it, it was like real fire, wasn't it, Evelyn? It was like the anointing that comes out of that. And what does that represent? The Spirit of the Lord, the very heart of who we are, and then the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, and the Spirit of the living God, fear of the Spirit of the living God, fear, a holy fear. Amen? So this is what the Lord said to me about the angels. He said, Nancy, you know the names. You've been speaking those names since you started the first conference. Those angels' names, Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, and fear of the Lord, that holy fear. And what does all that mean? God says, that's what I give my people. See, he says in Isaiah 61, and awesome, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When you give your life to the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Now, he's on you, but you keep wanting to move away. He's moving with you, by the way. He's like a rubber band. Amen? Wherever you go, he says, once you've given your life to the Lord, he says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. You think you're running, but I'm running right beside you. Amen? That's the truth. Do you believe that? You should. Because he's got your number. Since the minute I got my eyes on you, when I met you, I went, you got pastor all over you, dude. Pastor all over you. And that's not peanut butter. Anyway, that's what was released on me, the commissioning of those angels. And when God gave me those names, you know what he did next? He said, Nancy, from now on, the call on your life, he said, when you see somebody and I say, I want you to pray for them, for the seven spirits, what do we need them for? Tell me, why would you need those seven Sumi angels? Why would we need those? We do need them, by the way. We're in a holy war, amen? We do not fight flesh and blood. But it's principalities and unseen forces. And where you go into a place, like I'm in this place right now with the Lord, speaking to all of you, and it's like you're trying to zone in on what I'm saying because it seems so bizarre. But I'm telling you, I'm a simple woman, and he dealt with me in this fashion, and he's asking me to deal with you. You're important to him. That's why you're sitting there. He compelled you to be here. I don't know what motive he used to get you here, but he compelled you as a leader to get here because guess what? He said, Nancy, that whole room, release that anointing upon them. Release that anointing upon them. The seven spirits that keep you out of the ditches. They will guide you in the Spirit of the Lord. They will guide you in wisdom. You will have wisdom from on high. They will guide you in knowledge. You will have knowledge and you'll have understanding to know what to do with the wisdom he's given you. Amen? And strength, like an incredible Hulk. Nothing will keep you down. Amen? Nothing, sweetheart. Nothing. Amen? And counsel. Who doesn't want to be able to give the right counsel? That's what they're there for, to unction and keep you out of the ditches that you do the call that's on your life. That's why I'm here. That's why my team is here, to see you step up. And that's the journey that I wanted to bring you thus far. Amen? Tonight, if you believe, and believe me, if you don't look at chapter 16 of John and look at it with the accuracy that God is speaking to us, he said the Holy Spirit came to convict us. What did he come to convict us of? He said sin. The sin of what? The sin of smoking or fornication or whatever? No. You read in the next paragraph, it says, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of unbelief. Unbelief. That's his issue. God loves you so much. He loves you. I can't explain how much he loves you. I can't even describe how much he loves you. I just have been on the receiving side of that love, and it compels me to do what I'm doing every day, every day. It's God. It's God. It's God. Amen? Until I'm 94 years old. That's what God told me. I'll let you come back to heaven when you turn 94. First of all, it was a big bummer to come back to this. When you go to heaven, I tell you what, you're going to go, man, how did... She's got to be the most courageous person on the face of the earth to have to experience this and go back knowing what I knew. But I also knew souls need to be saved, and he burned it within me, and he wants to burn it within you. Souls have to be saved. And I'll tell you what he asked me to do. He asked me to go to every nation in the world with a capital and go to their capital steps on the eastern side and pray. And pray. Because in the last part of what he said to me in February in Macon was, Nancy, you're going to go to all those countries and I want you to get them done in this next 7 years. This was in February. And he said, I will tell you this, the last 10 countries that you go to, every eye in the world will be up on you and whoever's with you. The last 10 countries. Now listen, do you think in those 5 times that he saw me and spoke to me, do you think he was serious? We should be serious about and be a part of what he's trying to do. I was here in January and February and spoke in 50 churches or home groups or whatever. I mean, there probably were more meetings than that, but I'm telling you, scheduled meetings where I spoke 2016 and what it meant to God for us. And he said, 7 years, I need you. You commit and I'll give you favor. You commit, I'll give you your health. You commit and I will open doors for you like you've never seen. You commit and you'll live strong those 7 years. I've got two women in my church that one of them is pretty aged and was getting ready for going home. She was shutting down. She wasn't doing, didn't want to do any more in the church. And when I brought this word, I'll tell you what, it's like God added 15 years to her life. She even canned fish for my husband again, several cases of fish, salmon. That helped catch, by the way. Amen? So I will end here with, do you want your eyes prayed for? Do you want that impartation? Do you want that impartation of God's assignment? Because the Spirit of the Lord, he wants to dwell in you. The Spirit of the Lord wants to operate with that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding, that counsel, that strength, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen? How many of you are leaders? Raise your hand. I'm going to bead you down. Are you a leader? You are. Say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Yes, Lord. I know you both are like, man, this is what I'm giving you. Hands up, right? Whatever he's going to give you, raise your hand and say, Lord, count me in. Amen? Who else didn't put their hand up? Are you embarrassed now? We are leaders. Amen? We are leaders. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this time. And, Father, thank you for letting me be so personal. And I know that they're going to go home and they're going to think about it and wonder if I'm just crazy. But, Lord, I pray that you bless them and you give them a revelation for themselves personally. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the anointing that's going to be released up here. I want my team to come up here and help me. We're going to pray for you for that release. And just the team members that I've prayed for that on you, you're the ones that are going to help me. The ones that are new here, that haven't received that anointing, just get in line and let me pray for you. Amen.